Thanks, everybody. I am excited to be here. I am a little embarrassed that the song I knew was Miley Cyrus. Like, I don't know what that says about me. Hopefully you'll still listen. I'm really excited to be here for several different reasons. One is I just like being part of great churches. And to me, a great church isn't defined by how old it is or how big or how small or where it meets. It's defined by kind of that intangible thing that you can feel in the air. And I didn't have to be here for about 5 minutes this morning before I felt that. And when you walk in the lobby, there's smiles on people's faces, meaning they're glad to be here, which makes me excited to experience what they've already experienced. There's excitement in the kids area. There's excitement from stage. There's even clapping and singing along from the people in the seats, which tells me, hey, there's genuine community here. This isn't just a show that's going on. This is God changing people's lives, and we're excited to be a part of it. So I'm excited to be here with you today. What I want to do to get started is I kind of have found recently, I was reading some time-wasting article on the internet, I know you would never do something like that, that talked about companies that kind of got off track. And they had companies that are well-known, but they put out products that were not so well-known and didn't work so well. So for example, one of these products that bombed was called Touch of Yogurt Shampoo. And it was actually shampoo, but people thought it was yogurt. So they ate it. So they had to discontinue the Touch of Yogurt shampoo. Then another one was Coors, as in like Coors beer, made a Coors sparkling water. And it was actually water, but people knew it was made by Coors, so they were really confused, and there's some kind of light beer joke in there somewhere, I'm not sure what it is, but they had to discontinue this because people thought they were getting light beer, but it all tastes the same. Cheetos put out a Cheetos lip balm. So if you couldn't get enough Cheetos taste, you could just kind of put that on and have that with you all day. And that failed miserably. And the reason all those failed miserably is because they're a company who focused really on one thing, but they tried to multitask and do something else, and it was just confusing, and what are we really about here? And it didn't fly. And what those companies were all trying to do is what we all try to do at times, which is multitask. Get many things done at once. I can write this paper and I can answer these emails and I can respond to this text and I can listen to my favorite music and I can surf YouTube in between all those things and get six things done at once, and I'm amazing. The problem is science. Science has proven you are incapable of multitasking. In fact, physiologically, in the prefrontal cortex, you are, they call it a bottleneck of the brain. Your prefrontal cortex has been proven to only be able to focus on one thing at a time. There's a book I read a quote from called Brain Rules that says, to put it bluntly, research shows we cannot multitask. We are biologically incapable of multitasking. So you may have heard it this way. You cannot drive and be on your phone at the same time. Like, not just Maryland law, you can't do that. It's physiologically incapable for you to do that. In fact, the way they say it is this: you would rather have a drunk driver on the road next to you than someone who's on their phone. A drunk driver is a safer driver than a person on their phone while driving. Don't do this right now because I can see you. Okay. They also have said this, that one study said when your phone buzzes, even if you don't answer it, you are distracted from what you're doing, and it takes several minutes to get your complete focus back on what you're doing. Even if it just buzzes, you're thinking, what did they need? Was it a text? Was it a call? Was it an Instagram? Like, what is going on? I need to respond to that. I need to find out who likes me. In fact, the state of Hawaii just became the first state in the country to make it illegal to use your phone while crossing the street. There was a city in Europe, Salzburg, Austria, went one step farther. They installed airbags around light poles. And they were trying to make a joke out of it, but they were drawing attention to a real problem. Like, don't look at your phone while you're trying to walk down the street. It's not working. Why? Because multitasking is a myth, and it can be driving, it can be walking, it can be phone, it can be a company doing two different things, but you can only do one thing if you want to do it well. And what I want to talk about today is what is the one thing that we need to do well if we can only focus on one thing to follow Jesus. Because here's what we believe, and we believe it at Mosaic, we believe it at United, we believe it as Christians, wherever you come from, wherever you are, is we believe Jesus offers hope. And if this is your first time at church, that's all we want you to know today, is Jesus offers hope. That's, you can boil down everything we believe in that simple sentence. Because here's the longer version of it, is God created the universe from nothing, and he created man and woman as the crown of his creation. He looked at us and he said, that's very good. But we said, God, we know what you want us to do. Even if you haven't been in church, even if you've never opened the Bible, if you've never heard a sermon, you know the right thing to do. But every one of us says, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I want to do. Thanks very much. In the word the Bible used to describe that as sin. Sin doesn't mean there's some arbitrary rule that God wanted to use to show he was in charge and he says, you got to follow this or I'm going to put you in trouble. It's what we know is right. It's what is the best way to live. And we say, God, no thanks. I'm going to do what I want. And that's selfishness. And really the term is sin. But the biggest consequence is sin separates us from God because we've said, God, no thanks. And so we're disconnected from God. But Jesus says, in God, you have true life. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to connect you back to God. And the way Jesus did that is he died on the cross to take the most extreme punishment possible for our sin. And he said, if you believe I'm God, if you put your faith in me, he says, you can put your sin on me and I'll put my perfection on you, meaning you'll be connected back to God like you were created to be. And the way we say it is endless second chances. The Bible word for that is grace. But it simply means there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. And if you grasp that truth, it'll change your life. And that's why we follow Jesus. That's why we exist as a church. But my question then is, once I follow Jesus, what do I need to focus on in order to actually follow him on a day-to-day, even an hour-by-hour basis? I even read a book not too long ago called The Power of Habit. The author did a TED Talk. You may have seen it. It was pretty good. And he talks in that book about an idea he discovered in his research called Keystone Habits. He said, our life is built on habits. Your life is a series of habits, basically. You always do the same things, typically. But what we want to do is we want to change habits. We want to start doing this. We want to stop doing this. And you can even see how we're going to relate this to Jesus. If I could form some habits that would help me follow Jesus to get the best life possible, that would be nice. But how do I do that? The phrase, he said, is keystone habits. There are specific one habits or two habits that have a domino effect and lead to other habits. So as I read that book and I kind of looked at my life, I realized for me, the keystone habit is running. Now, I used to run marathons. As I said, I've repented from that. I don't do that anymore. That's insane and stupid, and no one should ever do that. But I do still run on a regular basis because short distance running will help keep you in shape. And I've realized my biggest keystone habit is running. Because here's what I've realized. When I run, I actually start eating healthier. And I don't really plan to. I just kind of think, well, since I already ran today, I might as well not eat the French fries. I might have some fruit and veggies instead of that because I've already been healthy today. And then what ends up happening is after exercising and having a healthy meal, I end up sleeping better because my body's tired. So I get a full night's sleep. I actually want to go to bed a little bit earlier because I'm worn out and tired more. When I go to bed earlier, I get a full night's sleep and then I wake up earlier. And because I'm a disciplined person who runs and eats healthy and gets a good night's sleep, I wake up earlier and think I should read my Bible this morning. When I read the Bible in the morning, I'm hearing from God. I'm getting direction that'll impact my entire day. Then when I've spent time with God, I go to work early. I start writing a sermon because that's what I do at my work. And I'm hearing from God. I got a full night's sleep. I've got some lots of energy. I get some good ideas and I write that quickly and effectively. Then in the afternoon, because I've been productive all morning and slept well and have energy, I have meetings with my coworkers and any problem that comes up, I can react with patience and good questions and we'll work together and we'll solve problems. We laugh together. It's great. When I react with patience and have fun, my meetings end earlier. So I get home earlier. Then when I get home earlier, my wife is happy. She asks how my day was, and I say, great, I got a lot done. Then when I get a lot done, I'm more engaged with my wife and kids at home. When I'm more engaged at home, my wife appreciates me more, and when my wife appreciates me more, we enjoy each other more, and then 4 kids later, we got a good marriage. But if I don't run, I don't sleep well at night because I stay up too late. Then the next morning, I didn't sleep well, so I'm not really engaged with the Bible. I kind of read real quick just to say I got through it, but I didn't really focus on it. And then because I'm rushed, I don't have time to eat a healthy breakfast, so I'll drive through Dunkin' Donuts or Burger King, get some salt and sugar and caffeine in my system, and then I get a late start writing, and I feel more pressure, and the ideas don't come as quickly. Then I get stressed out. When I get stressed out, I'll have a meeting with my coworkers, and I can't be patient because I'm crashing now from my sugar high that I got from my fast food breakfast, so I'm impatient with them. I snap at them. They get annoyed. Then the meeting goes longer because I got to apologize and got to talk it out and make sure we're all on the same page. Then I get home late. My wife asked how my day was, and I said, I didn't get enough done. What she doesn't understand because I stayed later at work than I did the day before. Then I'm not engaged with my wife and kids because I'm still grumpy and I'm snapping at everybody. Eventually, I get so mad, I storm out of the house and go for a drive. As I go for the drive, I'm getting angrier, so I'm speeding. The cops try to pull me over, but I won't pull over. There's a helicopter chase. It's live on TV. Eventually, they get me at a barricade. My picture's all over the news and the internet. Underneath my name, it says lead pastor of Mosaic. Everybody stops coming to our church. Our church falls apart. I'm in jail with no job, and it's all because I didn't run that day. Because that's my keystone habit. So what I want to ask is if every other area of your life remained the same, and put this slide on the screen, if every other area of my life remained the same, what is the one area where change could have the greatest impact? Translation, what is your keystone habit? If we want peace and purpose and joy, I mean, we just sang about joy. That's an inspirational song. I want that joy every single day. If we want that in Jesus, what do we do? Well, the data is in, and it tells us. Data tells a story. In fact, when you look at data, you shouldn't ever look at just one study that was done because you don't know who did the study or what their motive was and if they skewed it or if it was even accurate. Maybe they caught respondents in a particular mood and it kind of skewed the data. What you want to look at when you look at data is a compilation of studies so you can get true statistics that actually mean something over an extended period of time. And what I'm about to show you is that very thing. Look at what the data says. If you read the Bible four or more times per week, it decreases your odds of giving into these temptations. You will drink to excess 62% less. You will view pornography 59% less. Have sex outside marriage, it will go down 59%. You will lash out in anger 31% less. You will gossip 28% less. Neglect your family 26% less. Overeat or mishandle food 20% less. And mishandle money 20% less. See, somebody came in here this morning and they're so focused on the pornography addiction that you're just literally focused on it. You're thinking, don't look at porn. It's bad for me. It's kind of sucking me into this lifestyle and this habit. And I don't want to do that because I know it's destructive to many different things. But you're so focused on it, just continues to draw you in. What the data says is if you just focus on the Bible, that'll take care of itself. Look at how it goes on. I got more data. Reading the Bible. 4+ times per week decreases your odds of struggling with these issues. You'll feel bitter 40% less. You'll think destructively about yourself 32% less. You will feel like you have to hide what you do or feel 32% less. You'll have difficulty forgiving others. That'll go down 31%. Your discouragement will go down 31%. Loneliness down 30%. Fear, anxiety, 14%. Listen, somebody in here wants to hurt themselves. And yes, you need therapy. And if your therapist says you need meds, you need the meds. But maybe the very first place you need to start is just getting the word every day. Just see what happens. To see what happens. Let's keep going. Reading the Bible 4+ times per week gives you significantly higher odds of giving financially to church, discipling others, and sharing your faith with others. You know, one of the best things you can do with the mission of God is just say to somebody else, come and see. I'm not going to force religion. I'm not going to force Jesus on you. Just come to my church and see. Bump into Jesus for yourself. See what happens. You know how you do that? You get in the Word. Get in the Bible. That'll happen naturally. One more, reading the Bible 4+ times per week gives you significantly lower odds of feeling spiritually stagnant by 60% and feeling like you can't please God will go down 44%. If you have been following Jesus for a while and you feel like, I just feel stagnant, is this all there is? There's got to be something more. What the data says is just get in the Word and see what happens. The data's in and it tells a story. The keystone habit to experiencing the promises of Jesus coming true in your life is simply get in God's Word. Lifeway Research is one of the organizations that did this, and they summed it up by saying this: reading the Bible is the number one predictor of spiritual maturity. The way I would translate it is this: focus on Jesus by reading Scripture every single day. And listen, we give away free Bibles every single week here. You carry a Bible in your pocket. If you don't have the app on here for the Bible, you need to download the YouVersion app so you carry it with you wherever you go. It's free. It has about 1 million translations on it. It has Bible reading plans. So you say, I don't know where to start. It'll tell you. Because here's what I know. Social media leave you depressed. A mindless game will waste your most valuable resource, but God's Word will give you life. So you got to get it on here. Make it your priority. But here's the thing. George Barna did some research, and 80% of Americans say there is great value in the Bible. And that's more people than go to church. 80% of Americans say there's great value in the Bible. But less than 1 in 6 Christians read it every day. Why? Well, I think the B-17 bomber gives us a clue. The B-17 was one of the best weapons, essentially, that our country had in World War II. The B-17, however, was almost never mass produced, and it was almost the ruin of the entire Boeing Corporation because the very first test flight of the B-17 bomber crashed, killing all three pilots alive on board, killed them all. And there was obviously this big investigation to figure out, because they poured so much money, they need it for the war. They'd put so much money into it. The engineers thought they had designed it correctly. The engineers, the production people, thought that they had built it correctly. It turned out upon investigation that the pilots on board had not done a very basic task before takeoff. The captain had left the elevator lock on, meaning that the plane could not respond to pitch control. That's why it crashed. Now, the future of the Boeing company hung in the balance, so there was a bunch of meetings that took place, and they were very intense, figuring out how we can prevent this in the future. And they asked, can we design the plane differently? The engineer said, no, we need all of those different buttons and switches. We've eliminated any ones that were superfluous. We need everyone in there. They said, can we hire smarter pilots? They said, no, we already hire the smartest pilots we possibly can. We can't find anybody better than this. So in one particular meeting, they're brainstorming different ideas of how can we prevent crashes like this from ever happening again. And somebody at the table said, well, I got an idea. It sounds kind of stupid and elementary for pilots so smart and engineers who are so smart. What if we just gave them a piece of paper that had a checklist of every single thing they had to do before taking off if they didn't want to crash? And they said, let's give it a shot and see what happens. And in that meeting, because of the B-17 bomber, was born something that you've heard of called the pre-flight checklist. And now every single airline, every single plane, every single pilot, every single country in the entire world, anytime you'd ever board a plane, the pilot is using the pre-flight checklist because of what happened with the B-17 bomber so many years ago. Now, when I get on a plane, my hope is to get to the destination I'm going to, but the bottom line is don't crash. Right? Like, that's the baseline. If you don't get me to my destination, I'll be a little annoying, but as long as you don't crash, we're going to be okay. So I am thankful that these smart, intelligent, trained, years of experience pilots take a piece of paper and they go through this thing and this thing and this thing and go over a pre-flight checklist every single time to make sure that I don't crash when I'm on an airplane. So what I want to do today for the last couple minutes is I want to give you, in essence, a pre-flight checklist. Before you enter your day every day, I'm going to give you something very simple that if you follow this, you will engage in God's word in a powerful way every single day. And those stats we just read won't just be empty promises. They'll be something you experience on a daily basis because you follow Jesus and get in his word. So I want you to get out your note page you got when you came in. If you are the person who kind of shuffled by the person who's trying to hand you this, I want you to get out your phone. I want you to write down some stuff that I'm going to give you. We're not even going to put it on the screen so you can have a tool that's going to be your pre-flight checklist as you enter this coming week, because you're going to read the Bible every single day this week, and I'm going to teach you how. I'm going to give you an acrostic that's very simple called SOAP. A pastor taught me this years ago, S-O-A-P, SOAP, and I've been using it pretty much every day, ever since. I'm going to teach you this very simply and quickly. The S stands for Scripture. The S stands for Scripture. And the first thing you have to do is you have to figure out, what Scripture am I going to read? Scripture meaning what part of the Bible? Now, there's different translations of the Bible. I like the New Living Translation because it's the easiest to understand. And that's just what I need. But you can find any translation you want. And then you need a plan. What Scripture are you going to read? There's plans at the table on your way out if you want to grab that. The app I recommended, YouVersion, has many different reading plans on it. What I tell people who are new to the Bible is I think there's two great places to start. One may be to just go through the Psalms that we're going through in this One Hit Wonder series. And in the Psalms, you'll find the highest of highs, God, you're amazing. You'll find the lowest of lows, God, I'm absolutely depressed. I need you to kick in the teeth of my enemies. And you'll find everything in between, something you can relate to. Another thing I recommend to people who are new to Jesus is, why don't you read the biographies of Jesus? There's 4 biographies of Jesus in the Bible. Pick one out, just read a part of it every day. Doesn't matter if you read five chapters, one chapter, one sentence. Some people stress out like they got to read a ton of the Bible every day. I don't know. Maybe you do to get something out of it. If you just read one sentence and get something out of it, that's going to be fine. I'm going to show you that in a second. But it starts with scripture. What scripture are you going to use? The O stands, write this down, for observation. So we got scripture, we got observation. And the scripture we're going to look at today in this series on songs, on Psalms in the Bible is Psalm chapter 1. And I'm just going to show you how I do this on a regular basis. So we're going to put it on the screen. You can open up the Bible you got on your way in if you want, but here's Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So there's this word picture there that kind of jumped out at me, because I'm just making observations here. And for you, it may be different, but the thing that jumped out at me is it said it's like a tree planted by streams of water. The thing I thought of was this creek that me and my neighborhood boys would play at growing up. We just go there and run around the creek. There was a tree that grew in the middle of the creek. There's lots of trees around the creek, but there's one that kind of grew in the middle of the creek, and it was bigger than all the other trees because it had a constant source of water. And in this scripture says that's what the person who meditates on God and his word is like. Now, sometimes when I'm doing the observation part here, I need help. I went to college to learn how to read the Bible. I have a 4-year degree on biblical studies. I am pretty confident in my ability to read and understand the Bible, but I still need help sometimes. So one thing I actually recommend to people is something called a study Bible. A study Bible is a little thicker. If somebody is carrying around one of those Bibles that looks like a weapon, you know, it's because it's a study Bible and it has the Bible, but somebody went in and put in different notes to explain different things. I'll show you what I mean. In a book of the Bible called 1 Kings, you get to this section and it says this: the temple that King Solomon built for the Lord was 60 cubits long, 20 wide, and 30 high. The portico at the front of the main hall of the temple extended the width of the temple, that is 20 cubits, and projected 10 cubits from the front of the temple. He made narrow clerestory windows in the temple against the walls of the... I mean, I'm already bored, right? I don't know what that's taught. What's a cubit? What's clerestory mean? I don't know. But if I'm reading my study Bible, or Google will help you do this in 2 seconds, it has a picture. So I think, oh, that's what it's talking about. Something on there is the clerestory thing. But that's how big it is. That's what it's talking about. And so I have my study Bible, and I make an observation. I don't just read through the Bible mindlessly. I want to observe what it's actually teaching me. So I use Google, I use my study Bible, and figure out, okay, that makes sense. That's the observation of what I'm reading. Next, and we can't leave it at that, is the A, which stands for application. Write down application. Scripture, observation, application. Scripture, observation, application. James 1 is part of the Bible that says this: don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Heard a guy say it like this one time: information without application is an abomination. So let's go back to Psalm 1. It said, blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. So blessed is the person who doesn't surround himself or herself with sin. So I have to think, I'm going to apply this to my life. I'm not just going to observe that. I think, okay, God, how do I surround myself with sin? And for me, for you it may be different, for me, the thing that comes to mind is media. It's, what did I watch on YouTube? What did I scroll through on Instagram? What did I watch on Netflix? And God, I kind of know, I try to rationalize, oh, that stuff doesn't affect me, or, you know, just looking at it or commenting on it, or, you know, double tapping it isn't that big a deal, but that stuff is probably having an effect on me because I'm inside, I really know I shouldn't be kind of going there. And that may not be what you would apply at all. But for me, as I read that, that's what I get convicted of and think, you know what, I probably need to have some accountability. I probably need to stop using Twitter. because I just see stuff on there that's not helpful for me. I probably need, you know, to get some accountability for the movies I watch and just have somebody look through my Netflix history every so often and go tell them, hey, I need you to do this. It sounds silly, but just do it because I'm trying not to watch stuff that's not good for me. And that's what scriptures tell me to do. And they may look at me weird, but I don't care because that's what scripture says to do. And that's the way I apply it. It goes on, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So it's saying, don't just avoid the bad thing, but replace it with the good thing. So I have to apply this. Okay, meditates on God's law day and night. It's regular. How can I do that? How do I need to apply that? The way I need to apply that is I need to make sure I'm in God's word every day. It's what the data says. It's what God's word tells me to do. So that's what I need to live out. So how can I do that practically? I can't just say I'm going to do it. I need some type of system or it's not going to happen. And I struggled for years, actually, to read the Bible every day. And it wasn't because I didn't think it was important. I just forget. I'd realize, like, the next morning when I woke up, oh, I don't think I read the Bible yesterday or last week or more than that, right? I hope you're laughing with me, not at me, right? But then I applied something that I got from another pastor named Mark Batterson, and it's worked like a charm, and it may be TMI, but I honestly don't care. He said, if you struggle to read the Bible every day, take a paper old-fashioned Bible and put it in front of your toilet, then you'll read it every single day. And that's what I did. So every day, first thing I do is I go in the bathroom, I use the bathroom, and I don't get out of there until I've done my Bible reading for the day. My kids are like, what are you doing, Dad? I'm like, I'm having time with God. Go away, right? So we take this scripture, and after we've observed it, we make it personal, and we apply it. And this is where following Christ is crucial to this, because Jesus makes a promise one time. He says, if you trust me, the way he says, if you put your faith in me, I will live inside you. My spirit will live inside you. So when I'm reading God's word, I'm not on my own. It's not just me and Google. God's spirit is in me, kind of nudging me, saying, hey, read that again. Apply that. Pay attention to that. And that's how I grow in those areas that the data talked about. And again, I know you're probably thinking, I came to church today. I got up early. I gave up doing whatever else. And the message is read your Bible. Yeah. And here's why. Because your marriage is struggling. And humility's in this book. Because you're angry and peace is in this book. Because you're anxious and calm lies in this book. Because you don't have any aim in your life and direction is in this book. And the most important thing you can ever do is focus your life on Jesus. But once you do that, the way you follow Jesus is by reading scripture every single day. It's that simple. See, we live in an ADD multitasking culture. And when I want to follow Jesus, I think I need to grow in peace. I need to grow in patience. I need to fast. I need to read a Christian book. I need to go to that seminar. I need to do this. I need to listen to this. All I got to do, the keystone habit, is getting God's word every single day. And so I have scripture. I observe it. I apply it. And then the P stands for prayer. And I don't make this personally some long, drawn-out thing. I'm not in the bathroom an hour. I'm just saying, God, here's what your word taught me today. Will you help me live that out? That's it. God, help me live this out. Thanks for your word. I want to go do it. It's that simple. A couple years ago, my wife and I embarked on a challenge of reading the entire Bible in 90 days. And I'd read the Bible in a year before, and that's a challenge. That's a big challenge. I don't think everybody should necessarily do that. I think a lot of people just need one sentence per day that will apply to your life. But we decided to read the Bible in 90 days. So we were reading huge chunks of it every day, and we were reading fast, right? We didn't have hours and hours to spend on this, so we're reading big chunks as quick as we can. And you missed a lot of the details in that, but you get the big picture pretty quick. And so we read the first several chapters of the Bible, and first several books of the Bible, and we get like the basic story. God says to Abraham, I'm going to give your descendants this land. His descendants become slaves in Egypt. He leads them out of Egypt. He gets them in the land. That's the story. It's a great story. But then what I realized is that story kept getting repeated over and over and over again. So I read the book of Joshua in the Bible, and that story gets repeated. And I read the story of the book of Judges in the Bible, and the same story gets repeated. And then I got to Job, and it repeats the same story. And in the book of Psalms that we're in this series, it's repeated over and over and over and over again. It's repeated in the prophets over and over. Even Jesus talks about the same story in the New Testament, and then other people after Jesus talk about the same story. And I'm thinking, get a new story already. I know the story. Like, promise, land, slavery, land, got it. I'm good. Let's get a new story already. And then finally, it dawned on me, the reason they repeat their story is this. When they remember how faithful God was to them in the past, they are faithful to God in the present. But when they forget how God was faithful to them in the past, they are not faithful to him in the present. Amen. And then they don't experience the power of his promise. In fact, there's one story in Scripture where in a time of great unfaithfulness, they find this old scroll in the Bible. They bring it to the king. It's actually the law of God, the Bible, and he has no idea what it even says. When they're faithful to God, when they remember how God has been faithful to them, they are faithful to him in the present. But when they forget how God is faithful to them, they are unfaithful to him in the present. And I've realized I'm the exact same way. If I focus on God's word every day, and remember his promises to me in the past, then I'm faithful to him in the present. I experience his promise even more. But when I neglect remembering his promises and how he's been faithful in the past, I just do my own thing. And it just gets me in more trouble. My friend and mentor, Dave Stone, really implied on me the power of Scripture one time. He told a story that was his most horrific memory from when he was a child. He was in a car, and this was decades ago, in a car on a two-lane highway. His dad was driving, Dave was in the front seat with him, his brother and mother were in the back seat. It was raining, there was a big storm, there was a car coming in the opposite direction, and it hit a patch of water, it hydroplaned, it crossed the lane, and these two cars, each going 50 miles an hour, hit each other head-on. Dave's car that his dad was driving was thrown into a ditch on the side of the road. They had no idea what was going on in the other car. They actually found out later that a boy riding in the other car was killed on impact. And they were all stuck in their car. Dave's father, his glasses had shattered. He later had to have 21 pieces of glass surgically removed from his eye. Dave was awake, but his mom was behind him in the back seat, unconscious with a skull fracture that would keep her in the ICU fighting for her life for a week before she finally came out of it. Dave said it was the scariest time of my life because we didn't know what was going to happen. We heard sirens off in the distance, and then my dad broke the silence by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he began quoting Psalm 23 from the Bible. And he said, "I still remember the quiver in my dad's voice when he said, 'Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.'" Here's my question. When you hear the sirens of life and you're in a ditch, what are you going to hold on to? Are you going to quote some one-hit wonder? Your favorite song? Can you talk about something you saw on Instagram? Are you going to be able to stand on the eternal, unchanging, hope-filled word of God? See, Jesus said, if you're tired or worn out or burned out on religion, come to me. He said, get away with me and recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Amen. And then I love this phrase, Matthew 11. He says, if you get away with me, I'll teach you to live freely and lightly. And I don't know about you, but that's what I've been looking for my whole life. Is I want to live freely and lightly. And that's why I follow Jesus. And that's why I need his word. Because he says, and the data shows, if you want a keystone habit to following Jesus, all you got to worry about is getting in God's word every single day. And if you do, you will sin less and you will know God more and his promises will come true in your life. So my challenge this week is, will you read the Bible every single day? Just this week. Read the Bible, apply scripture, observation, application, prayer every day this week. And just see what God will do in your life. Let's pray.